Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to another edition of Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Paint Train Pipe Bomb Productions. You all know who I am, but let me proudly welcome back the president and CEO and founder of Paint Train Pipe Bomb Productions, ladies and gentlemen, the master of mayhem, Ricky Litwinkiewicz. What's up, Ricky?
Nothing much. I got a fly coming around my fucking room. I just saw it go right across the camera. It was weird, but okay.
Well, it seems that you and I are not the only ones that want the television time.
Yeah, especially the insects, but we digress.
Absolutely. Well, we are gathered here today to recap Saturday night's main event. You know, just when we think that one particular concept in the WWE may never come back, well, you never say never, but as far as this goes, hell froze over because a huge name in pro wrestling actually returned to the WWE. And you know who I'm talking about, don't you?
Jesse the Body Ventura.
Jesse the Body Ventura, who we thought would never, ever come back. We know the history, the lawsuits against Vince from back in the day, the real-life beef with Hogan, with the whole union thing, and Jesse Ventura coming back for Saturday night's main event. I got to be honest with you, Ricky. Without Jesse the Body Ventura, Saturday night's main event would have lacked a lot of authenticity, if you ask me.
Yes and no. The only thing I was not a fan of is they were not letting Jesse Ventura loose.
Yeah.
Like, you got glimpses of it, but they kind of gave him, like, a big storyline sheet to read off of, and that was the way it went. I would have loved to have seen, like, the real Jesse Ventura shtick.
The heel announcer. Hey, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, he was the first ever heel announcer, and we all know how that story came. When his in-ring career ended way back then because of that illness, I believe the blood clots, we all know the story, Vince McMahon recruited him to the broadcaster's position because Vince McMahon wanted to put the first heel on the mic. And boy, did that work out great.
I mean, it did work out great, but now here in 2024, it was not the whole, you know, you don't get the full embodiment of what Jesse the Body Ventura was.
Yeah.
Now, like 40 years later, like, I would have loved to have seen the originality coming out of him than the, oh, we're going to feed you this and you got to try to stick to it as much as possible. Which at some point during the broadcast, he veered off a little, which gave you those glimpses of him, but it wasn't the full Jesse the Body Ventura.
Right.
That was what kind of irked me a little bit. I'm not going to lie when I tell you that.
I mean, we all know Jesse Ventura the way we do. The dude does not read scripts. You got to let him, you know, do it on his own. That's why he's one of the best villains, one of the best broadcasters, and one of the best wrestlers in the business. I mean, we know the guy. He doesn't take crap from anybody. He didn't take crap from Vince. Remember, Vince wanted to take away the trademark of the body of the whole thing.
And he also didn't take crap when he was freaking governor of Minnesota. So think of it that way. like the real deal, it real life Jesse the Body Ventura being on the mic probably would have been better than the scripted version.
Yeah, but
and here was another thing about Saturday Night's Main Event that a lot of people, I kind of got a little of a confusion thing going on. I will say this just to start off the show. All right, now they said they were going to try to keep it as original as possible.
They did.
Well, they didn't.
They said that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
they really,
right.
They really didn't.
Yeah, they didn't. But I guess to clarify, yeah, based on what you said, like, yeah, they did say that.
Music wise and graphics wise, yes.
Yeah.
Visual look at the Coliseum, no. Because to me, I would have brought back the original entranceway that they had with all the neon lights and everything else. The video boards, still 2024. Secondly, I did notice, however, the barriers. The barriers were the original steel barriers, not the ones you see on Raw or SmackDown or any of the pay-per-views. That was the original, okay? Now, again, you want to keep it original, the ring. The ring should have been bare bones, no LED boards on the sides, no LED boards on the ring posts. Give me a regular home school fucking ring.
Bring us back to the 1980s.
We didn't need the... I mean, if you want to keep the LED boards around ringside, yeah, okay. I can give it that. But the ring definitely should have been plain Jane. The way it was back in the 80s, the way it was in the 90s, early 2000s, give me the regular ring. Give me the old school red, white, and blue ropes. That was Saturday Night's Main Event.
Oh, yeah.
This was the Back to the Future version of Saturday Night's Main Event.
I wonder what Jesse Ventura would have to say about that. The Back to the Future version of Saturday Night's Main Event.
But I consider it kind of a 50-50 version of Saturday Night's Main Event.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, in back in the 80s and 90s, they didn't do pyro. I could have done without the pyro. Like, if you want to bring it back old school, there was no pyro back in the 80s and the 90s.
Right.
For Saturday Night's
Main Event. I got to say, it was great to have Jesse the Body Ventura back. I would imagine part of me believes he's working under a WWE Legends deal. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's going to work the next Saturday Night's Main Event, which is going to be next month in my home state of Texas, but... All I can say is, Jesse the Body Ventura, welcome back. It's a blessing for you to be back. We've missed you, sir.
And I think they could have used him a lot more, too. Just to think about it, like they had him there for the main event, and then they had him on that stupid podium by the entranceway, all right? True Saturday Night's Main Event, let the man cook on the mic.
Yeah, exactly. Just like back in the day. Give him the ball. Let him run with it. He did not fumble then. He will not fumble now. And I will say this, although I should wait till we get to it. I think Ventura should have been involved in the main event, but we'll get to that.
And I also like the fact being that they were allowing him in the main event with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
To use some of those old school euphemisms that he used to use back in the day. And that is Saturday Night's Main Event. When you get him to use his own material, then you know it's the true thing. Yeah.
And thank God he was the heel, Ventura. I mean,
yes.
I was actually pretty concerned. Is he going to come back as the babyface? Like, oh, no, there's no way. I mean, Jesse Ventura is going to, like, no. I mean, tweaks of a babyface there, but, yeah, he's still, you know, sided with the heels like he did back then. So we got vintage Jesse Ventura. We probably could have gotten more, but you know what? Like I said, I'm so glad that he came back. And like I said, Jesse the Body Ventura, welcome back. We've missed you, sir.
I will say going into the matches, however, again, having some of that old school flavor to it, I think would have made it not feel underwhelming.
Did you know that it took this was actually the same place where the first Saturday Night's Main Event took place in your backyard on Long Island, New York.
Yeah, and you know, obviously times have changed. That building has gone through several renovations over 40 years of existence. I'm going to just kind of say, though, that, like, again, like, to me, and I'll probably say this again probably multiple times throughout this review, the whole show felt underwhelming. 5 matches, 2 hours on TV, and it didn't give off Saturday Night's Main Event vibes. That's just, again, like, to have experienced it early and then experiencing it now. Okay? I think it could have been done differently. I think they could have brought in different legends, including Hulk Hogan, which was a big no-no on this card for some reason, because how can you not have the legend that had the most matches on Saturday Night's Main Event? I know there's probably a disconnect. Maybe it's from the whole Vincent Kennedy McMahon story.
Or the thing they put Ventura in, and Hogan. Well, to be honest with you, I don't think Ventura would have cared if Hogan had been there, because we know Ventura could care less about Hogan.
But you don't have him on the show, but you have Jimmy Hart on the show. Okay, but why would you not have the guy that had the most appearances on Saturday Night's Main Event?
I mean, he was in the first main event. I think he defended the title. This was in 1985, defended the title against, if I'm correct, I think it was Cowboy Bob Orton. But, yeah, which was in the same building. You know, I wondered if they ever had Saturday Night's Main Event in Madison Square Garden, which was, you know, where the WWF was predominantly way back in the day. But, you know, I got, and like I said, you know, I think based on what you said about underwhelming, there's obviously some things they got to work on before the next one, which again will be next month in my home state. But
To me, I don't think when you revisit the past, especially with something like Saturday Night's Main Event, that if you don't bring it back again from the past, if you don't fill that past feeling of it, it's not going to hit.
Right. I mean, and I,
to me, Saturday Night's Main Event is only kind of equaling to what AEW is doing right now. They're putting on a Saturday night show opposite AEW, and they want to, that's going to be their ratings battle for now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, it's once a month where AEW is on every Saturday, unless they have a pay-per-view and they somehow kind of botch that shit. But it's a once a month ratings thing. That's basically what it is.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, before we get to the card, I mean, everybody asked me, do I think Hogan should be part of the show? Should he have been part of the show? Because he was a huge part of, obviously, I mean, huge part of wrestling and this company. I mean, he was a big part of Saturday Night's Main Event. Yeah, but, and then people ask, like, do you think it was because Ventura's there that he didn't want to be there? No, because like I said, Ventura doesn't care about Hogan. Hogan doesn't care about Ventura. I can only pray that one day these gentlemen can have a conversation, reconcile. I mean, whatever this whole thing with the union, it was.
Why? They could still be in the same building, just don't put them in the same room with each other.
Right.
It's not like a 1986 brawl is going to happen in the middle of the ring between Ventura and Hogan. First of all, neither one of them can move anyway. And they probably would hit each other and would feel like a pillow fight.
Ventura is still tough.
I don't think it matters the difference of whether you have them in the building together or not.
Yeah, but
you keep them away from each other. That's just how it is. You have Ventura on the north side of the building. You have Hogan on the south side of the building. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You want the fans to see some nostalgia. Yeah. If you don't have the nostalgia of the show, it makes it feel bad. And this would have been the opportunity. The first show would have been that opportunity to have Hogan there. You're not going to bring him in on the second one. What's the point of that? You already missed your opportunity.
Yeah, and I'm sure Hogan, some would say Hogan being Hogan, he'd probably demand, well, you know, he's Hogan. He's got that leverage, but yeah, but I guess, you know, now before we get to the card, some of my friends have said, well, it's not going to happen because of the heat, the 40-year heat between the two because of that whole thing with the union. Jesse Ventura famously tried to start a union in wrestling. Hogan ratted him out to Vince McMahon, as we learned, you know, as Ventura tells the story, he learned about it during a deposition when he sued Vince. Like I said, I can only hope and pray that these two gentlemen can sit down, have a conversation, and reconcile and bury the hatchet, but it doesn't seem like, I don't think it's going to happen. But now we're ready to get to the card. Ricky, you want to get us started, sir?
Although many websites that covered Saturday night's main event, they gave this a decent match rating. It was Drew McIntyre versus Sami Zayn. However, after discussions with a bunch of people, this is within the wrestling community. I'm going to tell you that this match should have been different. By a long shot, should have been different. Yes, it's Drew McIntyre coming out with a W. But, and this is a huge but, bigger than the back end of a Buick, this did not make Drew McIntyre look good. Drew McIntyre should have had a tremendously more dominant match than what was portrayed on TV. Now, rewind a little bit back to AEW. You bring Bobby Lashley in as this dominant, kick-ass MF. And he doesn't go over too hot. This is the same thing. Drew McIntyre is supposed to be the ass kicker. He's supposed to be the guy that's bringing up all of this Scottish rage and I'm going to mess everybody up that's in front of me. Didn't look like that. This should have been, I hate to say it, I love Sami Zayn. Don't get me wrong. This should have been the ultimate 5-minute Scottish ass kicking. Destroy Sami Zayn. Get the hell out of the ring. This was not that way. I'll kind of agree with the ratings that I saw, but this did not make McIntyre look very strong throughout the entire time in the ring.
Well said. I think for me, what do you think of the finish? Do you think the finish was executed correctly? Why or why not?
Again, he wasn't dominant. He really wasn't dominant. He didn't even deliver a full kick. He did not deliver a full Claymore kick. He delivered a quick, half-assed Claymore kick. I would have rather seen him do it from the corner, get full fucking momentum into it, and legit punt Sami Zayn's head out into the parking lot of the Coliseum than what I saw. Again, the finish, I mean, yeah, he hit his finisher. Hooray! Everybody's throwing out freaking confetti that he hit the Claymore kick. But he didn't look strong. They dropped the ball on this. They tremendously dropped the ball on this.
Does this look bad for Sami Zayn too?
No. Not at all. All it goes to show is that because of one maneuver, Sami Zayn lost. That's all it says. It's not going to lighten the fact that he's still in the freaking, you know, he's still in the bloodline. Because now, like, again.
Yeah, the honorary Oos.
Yeah, because now on Raw, they went after each other again tonight. So they're going to continue that for a little while. It's going to get boring. You know, SOS, same old shit, for a little while till they can figure out what other storylines are going on that they could put McIntyre into.
I mean, Rollins had an interesting moment with McIntyre. I think he said to him, if you don't mind, I'm going to do what you couldn't do, and that's put CM Punk away.
Yeah. Which yeah. now means that they're going to probably interject
him. Pure entertainment.
Him.
I mean, hey, the program right now between Punk and Rollins, man, I'm loving it. I mean, we asked for so long, is there anything that could maybe give the Bloodline story some competition? Well, ask and you shall receive, baby. And we've seen absolutely nothing yet.
All I know is that after McIntyre and Zayn, I thought the WWE kind of picked it up a little bit.
Okay, well.
And the reason why I think they picked it up a little bit more is the Io Sky Liv Morgan match. I thought, to me personally, to have Liv Morgan in the position that she was in, no Judgment Day, no street trash, her and Io one-on-one made the show a little bit better. Still underwhelming, but in this case now, they actually made Liv Morgan a legit champion. No outside interference, no backstage shenanigans, one-on-one. This is where they kind of picked it up a little bit.
Okay. Is that it? All you have to say about that match?
Well, you know, obviously we're post-recording this, and it's 2 days later, but we're still getting out the content.
Sorry, y'all. I mean, our schedules, you know, like that. But you know what? We've got listeners that are so loyal, and you know, they're like, you know what? Get it when you can. We're just always excited for it, Alex.
And it also doesn't help when yours truly picks up two new hats that he has more business to deal with now. So, you know, working with NIW, there's a new wrestling company that I'm working with, and production and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's actually my fault, but you know.
And ladies and gentlemen, let's take the moment to give our congratulations to Mr. Ricky LeWinkwich here. Also, Chris Rex, shout out to you, brother.
Liv Morgan going over. Obviously, this is something that had to happen.
Obviously.
Because you know now, Liv Morgan is still dealing with Rhea Ripley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Liv Morgan did not break her nose, okay? Just so everybody knows, she did not break her nose. She messed up a piercing in her nose. That's why it was bleeding. She did not break her nose, so thank God she's not injured.
That would have been catastrophic.
However, I think the Io Sky story should not fall off. I don't think it should fall off. I think at some point Io should have had the title a little bit longer the last time she had it. But Io did look very, very strong in this match. But again, having Liv win without any help kind of can solidify her as the women's heavyweight champion. So I'm kind of happy with that. Because I think these things at some points, like you get tired of seeing the outside interference. And you see it a lot, no matter who the champion is. So I kind of liked the fact that that stayed the way it was. Which then, I wasn't a fan of where this match was. I thought this should have been the fourth match instead of the third. But again, they loaded the five-match card. We had Gunther, Finn Balor, and Damian Priest. And this storyline to me has gotten kind of old. I'm not going to lie. Where you see Finn Balor and Damian Priest with Gunther. And I'm like, yeah, you know, kind of tired of that. That story should have died out. I think the Priest Balor storyline should have died out. This, however, even though it's a triple threat match for the World Heavyweight title, we all know Gunther was not coming out the loser. We all knew it.
It was kind of predictable.
As much as we'd love to see Finn Balor running around with the World Heavyweight title, because he's not had a singles run in, shit, almost a decade. I kind of would have loved to have seen Balor win. Now? No. So, it's not like they sugarcoated this one very much. And obviously, again, if you saw Raw tonight, the two of them are still nipping at each other's heels, meaning Priest and Balor. God, could we please just get an end of those two? Like, enough is enough. Like, I don't need to see anymore. I really don't. It's been 9 months. 9 months of Balor and Priest. I'm hoping when this whole relocation of wrestlers thing happens, get them the fuck away from each other. It is just, you know what? I can't even finish talking about it anymore. Like, enough.
Basically, disband the Judgment Day once and for all, right?
I mean, keep the Judgment Day because they're having their own little problems, and I really would love to see how that all happens. But I'm done with this Balor Priest stuff. Like, I'm kind of done with it.
I mean, in the past, like not long ago, I talked about I suggested a program between, you know, Priest and Dominic Mysterio.
And that was very tiny. That was very tiny that they had that happen. But again, Priest and Balor, man, like, they need to go to separate shows. Like, I think Priest needs to go to SmackDown. I think Balor can stay on Raw. Let him stay with Judgment Day. Let them, play out whatever storyline it's going to come out to be with Judgment Day. And that's it.
I mean, as of today, I think, if I'm correct, Balor and McDonald, they lost the tag team titles
to the War Raiders.
Did Priest get involved in the match?
Yes, he did.
I know that he was at ringside. I saw the clip of him smiling. So he did.
Yeah, he interfered in the match. Balor went for a chair. Priest was sitting at ringside, minding his own business. I think not. But, you know, sitting there with the Uso hood and the jacket to make him look like he was a fan. And he hits Balor in the stomach with the chair. And then the War Raiders hit the War Machine, and it was done. So obviously now we're getting another month of Damian Priest and Finn Balor.
I mean, you're going to lose your mind. No, Ricky, at least a month.
I'm praying it's a month. That, again, when they do the relocation of everybody, that they are not next to each other. Because, again, I've had enough of it.
Concludes at the Royal Rumble. Is that what you're saying?
I'm hoping it ends at the Royal Rumble. If it carries on to WrestleMania, I will pull the rest of the teeth out of my mouth.
And I'm not even joking. You'll be here on the show going on a rant.
Yes.
Well, no offense, but I would look forward to that. But as far as Gunther goes, I mean, a friend of mine is insisting that Gunther is headed towards a face turn.
No. Unfortunately, you know, due to the dirt sheets, we're looking at Goldberg's retirement match.
Oh my God.
If anybody remembers, I've gone on record and said, this match happens between Goldberg and Gunther. I'm sitting in the crapper and not even paying attention to it. Because it is not something that even children should watch. Okay? We all know Goldberg is going to lose. and a lot of people, sports writers across the board, podcasters across the board, all know this is a bad idea. We all know it's going to be like a quarter of a star match.
I mean, I think Gunter knows it's a bad idea, but there's nothing he can do. He can't risk. He can't risk, you know, causing issues. And I would dare ask, you think Goldberg actually believes that it's a bad idea?
Well, again, Goldberg never got his retirement match. Okay? He never got it. Yeah, his last match was against Bobby Lashley. He went out in his blaze of glory. Like, if I wanted to be retiring, I don't want to be looking up at the lights to retire. You know, give me that Peyton Manning ride off into the sunset on a Bronco retirement, win the Super Bowl, retire. I would have just said, you know what? My last match was a W. Okay, granted, it was like 2 years ago against Bobby Lashley, who put him over. That's it. You make your appearance, you wave your hand like a princess, and that's it. You're done. We do not need to see a 7-minute train wreck of Goldberg versus Gunther. Let alone do we need to see a 3-minute train wreck of Goldberg versus Gunther. We don't need to see that. I'm telling you, that will probably be the longest bathroom break I would ever take during a wrestling PLE.
I mean, I feel like you're going to message me asking me, is it over? Is it over? Is it over? Because
No, I legit have my room right next to the bathroom
okay,
with the big screen TV.
Okay.
And I'll be just screaming out of the bathroom door, is it over? Because, you know, there'll be still people here watching it.
Because I feel like you're going to tell me, Alex, don't bother watching. It's not worth it.
Let me ask you. Are you really going to question the outcome of what Gunther versus Goldberg is going to be?
Because
okay, when you go to review the eventual match, whether it's at Royal Rumble or Elimination Chamber or even, God forbid, WrestleMania, are we really going to spend more than 5 minutes on Gunther versus Goldberg? I think not.
I mean, it's
not.
It's obviously the retirement match will be for the title, but
you're going to say to me,
Gunther will go over, obviously.
I'm predicting the future right now, okay? You bring up the match on the card. It's the retirement match of Goldberg versus the world heavyweight champion Gunther. Your thoughts? Train wreck. Gunther wins. Next. Oops.
That's exactly it.
What's next? Listen, we all know the past. Goldberg versus The Undertaker. They both got concussed and went to the hospital.
Oh, all right,
and those are two of the higher level.
I know.
Those are two of the higher level guys in WWE. And we knew that was going to be a train wreck.
Except, of course, this was before the friendship. Yeah, I mean, if I remember correctly, didn't Goldberg knock himself out because he went for the spear and then hit his head against the chair?
Yeah.
He was already, I think, they say he suffered a concussion before the match because what did he always do before heading into the ring?
He used to bang his head against the door or a locker.
Yeah, so I'm saying that's when he suffered the concussion, and then it intensified.
All I know is that if this is where the writers of Raw are going to go, we are in for probably the worst 5 minutes in PLAE history ever. And I'm not going to lie when I tell you this.
If that's the case, we will be here talking about it, but...
Yep, 3 count. Goldberg looking up at the lights.
I'm sure there's nobody in the world that could care less about this match more than the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
No, that is not true.
Every person who asks him, what do you think of this match? Bret Hart says, I don't care.
They made up today. They met for the first time.
Are you serious?
Since the incident, and they made up.
No way.
There are pictures of Bret Hart and Goldberg hugging each other, running around on the internet right now.
No, I gotta see this. No way.
Yep, I saw it today. There are pictures of both of them making up with each other, and they are now friends. It was on Facebook today. Both of them standing right next to each other, and Goldberg hugging Bret Hart.
I don't believe this, dude. I don't believe it. There's nothing. No, are you serious?
Dead serious. Well, my partner is looking that up on the internet as we're recording.
There's nothing
the show
about it. So I'm like, okay.
We're gonna get into the second to last match on the show,
and
that would be for the uncrowned United States Championship.
I'm sorry, but I'm completely dumbfounded. Like, there's no way.
Wait, do you want me to find the picture for you?
There's no way Bill Goldberg and Bret Hart reconciled today.
I will have to find the picture for you.
I hope one day they can. Granted, Goldberg has apologized many times to Bret Hart, so I only hope that, you know, like that, because. Look, I'm talking from personal experience. I know this is not the time or place, but holding a grudge, holding on to anger and resentment. Look, this is from personal experience. It does not do you any good. It causes a serious unhealthy. It's very unhealthy. That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, look, I don't want to make it sound like I'm okay. Look, I'm not saying Ricky's a liar. I mean, I would never say that. Ricky's one of my closest friends. He's my teacher, my mentor. It's just that I just can't believe this because I didn't say anything about it. I mean, this would be all over.
I will have
internet.
To find the article for you on Facebook, and I will send it to you.
All right. I mean, again, Ricky, you'll have to excuse me, but, you know, the just so blindsided with this whole thing, but.
I'm going to go on to kind of briefly say that WWE, as he's getting real choked up over Bret Hart and Goldberg.
I mean, hey. Bret, you know, even though this is not my fault, one of the biggest regrets as a lifelong fan of pro wrestling is I did not grow up. I mean, I saw a little bit of Bret Hart's work in WCW, but again, the whole WCW thing, people say that's, well, Alex, it's unfortunate you weren't around to see the best of the Hitman. But you know what? Thank God there was the WWE Network. You know, thank God I can still go back and watch all of his great matches.
So. WWE throws the hugest swerve in this match because obviously odds makers would put Meechin over Chelsea Green in the match. Okay. I think personally, I probably would have if I was a betting person, but I'm not a betting person anymore. And they made Chelsea Green the United States champion. They gave her her first singles title in WWE.
Which means that Chelsea Green and Zack Ryder, or Matt Cardona, as we know, as he goes by now, his real name, the first real life married couple to be U.S. champion.
Yeah.
I mean, how about that? And speaking of Matt Cardona, I am actually very excited with the program he's working with Chris Jericho. You saw that recent thing, Jericho appears in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Man, I love that. And, well, I know this is off topic from this, but hey, do you see Cardona beating Jericho for the title? Quick question.
You know what? I honestly would actually like to see that.
I would too, even though Jericho's my wrestler. But you know what? It would make sense for a great match.
But I think of it this way when you talk about the King of New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
Matt Cardona getting released from WWE and legitimately pulls a Chris Jericho. Reinvents not only his career, but his persona.
Mm-hmm.
How he is legit in multiple companies. Multiple companies.
He was collecting titles.
GCW was probably his biggest thing at this point right now. And he became a fixture there. He became one of the kings of the death matches in GCW. Mm-hmm. That would be good.
Yeah, he recently worked with did a match with Brian Keith, I think.
And
was on AEW programming, I think.
And I kind of go with this idea now that you're not going to see really the ditzy, stupid version of Chelsea Green anymore.
I mean, I really honestly hope not. I mean, I think we've seen enough of it. I mean, look, she's a talented wrestler. Let's see the very serious, strong side of her.
I'll bring up a match that, again, if you are a true, and I mean true, with capital letters, wrestling fan. Now, granted, might be a little bit past your time, okay? Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground.
Oh, I was like, oh, you talking about me? Whoa.
Chelsea Green was in Lucha Underground. She was not the mamby-pamby character we see today. Okay? When you're in there with men, male luchadors, you know, not for anything, she was in there with Penta.
I mean, she's even worked in Japan. She's worked for World Wonder Ring Stardom. Do you know who Chelsea Green was trained by the way?
Who?
Lance Storm.
But I would rather see. Now I'm reaching out to you people out there.
She was on the internet.
TNA/
Impact Wrestling from 2016 to 2018.
Yeah, but she was also mamby pamby in that too.
And she was with Ring of Honor briefly, I think.
But go and look at the match with her versus Penta in Lucha Underground. That is the Chelsea Green I'd rather see.
Mm-hmm.
The ass kicker. The one who took a beating and didn't get, you know, all of the mamby-pamby storyline, almost like diva style. I don't like that version of Chelsea Green.
Yeah, we want to see the tough. I mean, look, enough. Okay, look, the whole comedy thing. Look, I'll be honest. Chelsea Green, she's put a smile on me. She's made me laugh. Look, I appreciate it. Don't get me wrong. But now I think we've seen enough of that.
Like, I think she's got to get down to the real deal Chelsea Green. Because now she has a title.
Yeah.
We can't make her a one and done. That's not, to me, that doesn't fit what they were going to do. If they would have put the belt on Meechan, she'd have probably like a 6-month reign with the title. Probably. But now you're putting it on Chelsea Green. Again, swerve. And you got to now make that title mean something.
Absolutely.
You
got to
make Chelsea Green mean something.
Absolutely.
And her backup's not always going to be there. So now we have to see what the real part of Chelsea Green is going to be. I was actually good with the Chelsea Green winning the title on Saturday. Because I think either one of them are viable people that you could put a title on and get a little bit of a length out of a title run with. But definitely the swerve with Chelsea Green. Which leads to the last match of the night.
The main event.
And I kind of noticed, as I'm looking at my clock, that the title match here in New York started at 9:43, which means they really did not give this match what I would say breathing room. They made this kind of a small time match.
But they did bring a certain thing back. And do you know what I'm talking about as far as nostalgia goes?
Jesse the Body Ventura on commentary.
Well, but I was actually referring to the championship belt.
This is where the nostalgia part really fucked me up. It really, because I remember the belt. It looked similar to what Cody used. Like, to me, it wasn't the original. It was similar to. Like, to me, the belt looked a lot bigger when it was the Wing Eagled championship belt.
Like, when Bret Hart held it, HBK.
It was, to me, like, it was bigger. I don't remember it looking that small. And top it all off. And a lot of people said, so you brought the belt back. Whoa.
Wasn't that belt first retired when Stone Cold became champion and then introduced the Smoking Skull title?
Yes.
Okay.
But again, that title just didn't, like, it didn't really pop out. Everybody was jumping with joy. Oh, we're bringing the belt. And then it just didn't look great. It looked like a replica. Something you buy on eBay for like $150. Like, it just didn't feel right. And again, you're bringing in Cody. I don't want to see the fucking 3D graphics. I don't want to see all of the AI crap floating around in the fucking sky. It's not Saturday night's main event. Granted, the referees were wearing their blue shirts with the little fucking black bow ties on. Who gave a crap about that? The Winged Eagle belt, dude, it did not, like, it didn't, like...
It didn't sit well with you, obviously.
It didn't give me goosebumps from back in the day. Like,
it was supposed
plain.
To. Ricky's, I mean, okay, Ricky, what year did you become a wrestling fan again?
Birth.
For me, yeah, 99. Well, technically, I mean, my first time I watched a wrestling event was 98, was the 98 Survivor Series, but January 4th, 1999 is the day I became a wrestling fan. Now, the belt that, you know, Mankind won is, you know, not the belt that Cody, is not the belt that, you know, we're talking about, but, you know. But, you see, the point is, I mean, for nostalgia, you know, a wrestling fan like Ricky, for how long he's been a fan, I mean, if you don't feel that nostalgia that Ricky's talking about, then...
Like,
something's not right, or numerous things are not right.
Here's where I would get nostalgia and goosebumps and everything else.
All right,
bring back the original IC title,
the one with the WWF thing is red.
No, the whole original rectangular fucking IC title.
Oh, the one that Pat Patterson held.
The Miz was the last one to have that, by the way. Boy, they went and they changed it all over again.
I love that. See, I used to have that. I actually used to have a replica of that belt until I donated it.
That would bring back some nostalgia. Okay. Yeah. I mean, God forbid, a lot of people really didn't like it.
That's the Intercontinental title that Cody Rhodes actually reintroduced back in like 2011. Yes.
Give me that title back.
I love the white strap of the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, I hate to say it. As bulky and as clunky as it was, and they just did it with CM Punk now, bring back the non-spinning version of the spinner belt.
Oh.
That's nostalgia. The Winged Eagle title belt does not pop.
Oh, that's the title that The Rock retired.
Mm-hmm. But now they went out and made the CM Punk version of it. I like that style better. It looks like a better belt.
434 days. But
we get into the match now, because now we talked enough about titles.
I mean, we're having fun, and I guarantee you, Ricky, the listeners are loving it.
A lot of the fans were not impressed by that belt. And then you had the entrances.
Obviously, I was, but...
The entrances, which were, eh.
Entrances matter, folks. You have to, yeah. Entrances are important.
And then we get into the match. And, again, this is where I love Kevin Owens. I love.
Hold on, buddy. You went silent. And we are back. Ladies and gentlemen, we apologize for that. Ricky was having some technical difficulties. Ricky, where were we?
We were talking about Owens and Cody Rhodes.
And that, you know, you love Kevin Owens, you love Cody.
I love the both of them. Okay?
Me too.
But the same time, at the same time, we kind of caught the same MO from last time. Owens was not vicious. I would have loved to have seen a lot more killer instinct from Owens this time than I saw the last time.
Especially, well, we're going to wait until we get that point, especially what happened after the match, as far as Kevin Owens' viciousness and his aggressiveness. He's been with the company for 10 years, and, you know, where he is now, you know, at this point of his career, many wonder, could he still be the same heel he was, you know, 10 years ago when he arrived, the prize fighter persona and all that? Absolutely. I think he can be even more vicious than he was 10 years ago.
Yeah, but you know what? It's now twice in a row where he lost, first off. And second off, you didn't get the heat from all the promos in the match. Top it all off, he loses because he got crossroad into a chair.
Yeah,
that he introduced, by the way.
To be honest with you, I didn't like that finish.
But again, now you have Cody win. Where is that vicious mean streak from Kevin Owens? Stop with the shenanigans. You had him right into a storyline, him pile drive Randy Orton to take him out of the storyline. Where is that Kevin Owens? Why are we not seeing that in the matches? That to me is a problem. That is bad storyline. I want to see that vicious Kevin Owens. I want to see, again, rolling back the sands of time here, I want to see the viciousness of Kevin Steen when he was in Ring of Honor in this storyline. We're not seeing it. If you rightfully want to take Cody Rhodes out of the story, like they did after it went off the air, I would have rather seen that happen more in the match than more than it did off the air. Because now you have Cody win, he's celebrating with the crowd, NBC cut them off at 10 o'clock, and there was more story to tell. Again, the Kevin Steen vicious part with the package pile driver to Cody after Saturday Night's main event went off the air should have been something they showed on the air, which means either they ran out of time or they wanted that to be something not seen on TV as like a main viewing thing, but the 14,000 people in the Coliseum got to see it. And obviously it leaked out on the internet before anybody could report it. So now WWE had to go into full recovery mode. And I would have rather, as a fan, not had to see it from video from somebody's cell phone. I'd rather would have seen it live on TV so I get the pop that I want to finish off the show. Because, again, five matches, and, again, the card underwhelming. Like, I did not get – I felt like I got the first hour of Monday Night Raw in 2 hours on Saturday night's main event. That's what I got.
What did you think of the finish, though?
Two referee bumps. I almost felt like they were reaching.
To be honest with you – could you imagine with the two referees out? You know what I really thought would happen? Guess who I thought would actually come in the ring to be the referee when the two referees were taken out?
I thought Ventura was going to do it, and they even said it in the storyline.
Wait, who?
Ventura was actually
going to go. Ventura, said somebody else. Yeah, I thought.
After Robinson got hurt, Ventura was actually getting up from the desk to do referee duty, and then the other referee came in, and then they said it in the storyline as the match was going on. And then they really kind of lost it, because then they had the opportunity to have Ventura came in, and then Robinson got up miraculously out of nowhere to make the count. Which a lot of wrestling fans are also saying that the count was illegally done, because the referee was not in the ring, which is a load of crap.
That's why, how Kevin Owens does the story, like, technically he's the champion. I mean, you know, got screwed. I mean, you know, heel being the heel. So, yeah, but, yeah, the finish was not done right. I don't think Owens needed, Owens needed to be crossroad into the chair. I preferred, you know, if he gets crossroad three times in a row and then loses, that would have been better. But, well, I can't stress enough, like, no, I think Ventura, when the two referees were out, Ventura should have gotten in the ring and be the referee. But people will say, does that make sense, though? Is Ventura the heel? Is he going to count the fall for Cody?
No, because then they would have put fucking Owens in the title picture, have him win the title from Cody, and then it would have been a totally different ending to the show.
Unless they do this to where, like, Owens goes for the cover, Ventura makes the count, Cody kicks out, and then Owens loses his mind, and then puts his hand on Ventura, Ventura clocks him. I mean, that probably would have been something, but it wouldn't have made sense, because Ventura was, you know, was being the heel during the show.
But now here's the billion-dollar question, okay?
And yes, Ventura has been a ref before. SummerSlam 99, when he was governor, he was the referee at the main event of the 99 SummerSlam, which he has said was his highest payday in wrestling, which he finds embarrassing.
But now, you see, like, it brings up the very interesting question here, right? Cody has a cervical injury.
Kayfabe, obviously.
No, he actually was in the hospital for the injury.
Okay, so they did the stunt. Okay, he already had the injury, you mean?
Yes, there was something pre-existing there, so but now
that's why they had Kevin Owens do that thing. But
now again, here comes like the billion-dollar question, right? Let's say now they're saying Cody can't defend the title, which is again now like they're kind of bending their own rule. All right, and this is where like fans like my dad has sitting there questioned this imaginary rule of you have to defend your title every 30 days. Okay? What are they saying now that Cody won't be able to defend the title for a while? What do they do that for a title picture?
Well, they strip Cody of the belt, or he surrenders it, and they set up a tournament. Or, better yet, the title's on the line for the men's Royal Rumble. The winner of the Royal Rumble becomes the new champion.
And then Cody or Randy eventually come back and challenge probably Kevin Owens, who ends up winning the Royal Rumble and the title for probably like a 2-month reign. Well, technically 3, because it's in April.
Right.
So they kind of, I think now. You're making now Cody a 2-time WWE champion? Is that what we're doing? Or are we like pretentiously seeing now that maybe the whole Cody line has kind of gotten stale and they need to just sit back for a while? Put him in the closet and say, hey, when we need you, we'll bring you out.
And when he comes back, he turns heel.
I don't know if a heel Cody Rhodes would run.
You never know.
I don't think so. And not as the American Nightmare. Like, I think the American Nightmare deal is pure a face thing. I don't think that would ever be a heel thing. But again, it just asks a lot of questions. Are we going to see Owens suspended? Or are we going to see, which, again, this is a very, very big rumor, which I am tremendously against.
a return of a Hall of Famer.
Triple H?
Yes.
And the reason why, because what did we also see that was leaked?
The pushing match that Owens and Triple H had after the whole Cody ordeal.
And Kevin actually took the belt with him. He's actually, I think he's in possession of it. Because, yeah. Well, you know, being the heel, you know, he thinks he's the champion. But you know what? It makes sense. But you know what? That move that he pulled on Cody, you know, we talk about Kevin Owens being known for that viciousness and aggressiveness. I mean, the move that he pulled, that pile driver, okay, cool. But you know what I would have preferred to see?
What?
Powerbomb into the apron.
I probably would have seen what really is what kind of got his moveset changed. I would rather have seen a pop-up powerbomb like he used to do, which he very rarely does now, because now his finisher is the stunner. And a frog splash from the top rope. But the pop-up powerbomb and the package pile driver were his two original finishers in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I think he said the story as to why he stopped the powerbomb. He says everybody's got a powerbomb. Okay, true, there's a lot of them. But you know what? Kevin Owens' his pop-up powerbomb is very unique. And to be honest, I never got tired of seeing it.
But I would have seen that instead of the pile driver.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me, okay, the babyface Kevin Owens, he could definitely do something other than the powerbomb, because that pop-up powerbomb gives me more of the heel vibes than a babyface vibes. But
The stunner is more of a face move than a heel move.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, the pop-up powerbomb fits more of Kevin Owens' heel and vicious and aggressive persona. But again, I'm dead set on the fact that instead of that pile driver, I think Cody should have been powerbombed on the apron.
Mm-hmm. Like he did the Sami Zayn in NXT.
In NXT, exactly.
But I mean, overall, like, I can't really give the true emotions on here the way I probably would have I did on Saturday. I'm like, oh, this was a waste of 2 hours. I'm not going to lie. There was way too many ads for it being NBC. I felt like I was watching the low-end version of Peacock.
You didn't enjoy the show. Again, what do you grade this show?
B-.
Okay.
Again, the only real big thing that came out of this was the swerve of Chelsea Green winning the women's U.S. title.
Right.
That was the only thing that really gave off anything. Like, a lot of that shit was, I have to say, it was predictable.
Right. And for me, the main event match itself was okay. It's just I just don't think the finish was done right. The finish was not executed correctly. And I've already said why, because again, I mean, it's probably just my opinion. Yeah, someone would say no, Ventura didn't need to be involved, but I think it would have been good if Ventura actually had been the third ref go in and then. But I just don't think it was necessary for Owens to be crossroad into the chair. But that's just my opinion. As you say, what's an opinion like, Ricky?
An asshole.
And everybody's got one.
I had to get a little bit fancy with it this time.
I would say the match, to be honest, or the show, it was okay. It was like I would call it a complete waste of time. But I do think it could have been different, but I will say this. I mean, we've seen worse. We've seen a whole lot worse.
I'm not saying it's a top 10 worst.
No, not at all.
Maybe top 25, not top 10.
But now that we're done with main event, there's two particular bonus things, questions I got to ask. Number one, do you know who recently made her return to Impact Wrestling or TNA Wrestling, as it's now known as again?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tessa Blanchard, ladies and gentlemen.
I have to go with the community on this one because of the fact being, granted, yes, she is the daughter of a Hall of Famer. However, they dropped the ball with her the first time. She messed it up for herself along the way granted, she's still young. She's very talented. Her bloodline, you know, not like the Samoans. Very talented. I mean, there's a lot of great lineage behind her. However, I think her as a person and her reputation is what's going to kill her at this point. And she's only going to end up being a temporary replacement for Jordynne Grace when she leaves for WWE. She's a temporary replacement until they can find somebody that can fill the shoes even three quarters of the way for Jordynne Grace. Obviously, she's, her contract's almost up. She'll be in WWE soon. Not in NXT, but Raw or SmackDown. And they're going to have like a two-match storyline, and that's it.
So you're not really on board with the whole return of Tessa?
No. To be honest with you, no. I don't think that Tessa coming back is really going to solve a lot of cures to filling in a spot for a person that's been there for a long time.
Okay. All right. Number two, well, we haven't seen her in AEW since she lost the title. She had spent some time in Japan and obviously in Mexico with the Consejo Mundial de Lucha Libre, which is the company that Tessa's been working for. She came back, but the timeless character is gone. So the rock star is back, but there's something funny going on with her. Toni Storm seems to be suffering a case of amnesia.
I don't think it's another amnesia thing. I think she's with her acting gig.
I think she's playing mind games with Mariah May.
If you kind of really want to, I know where Tony Khan has gotten this storyline from. And again, we talked about nostalgia on this show. The Faces of Foley.
Mm-hmm.
That Toni Storm. The whole Hollywood Toni Storm.
The timeless, yeah.
You know, the timeless part. You know, there have been
Golden Age.
You know, there have been quite a few different versions of Toni Storm around. And she's now back to the rock star one. You know, like, I kind of like, they brought back the original Toni Storm gimmick. Because the timeless one kind of faded away. Like it had its season finale. And it's not something well, that they really
season finale.
They don't want to resurrect or freaking make a sequel to Timeless Toni Storm.
At least not yet, right?
It's like Hollywood recently redid a remake of The Crow. This version of a remake of Rockstar Toni Storm, I think it's going to be a lot better. So, you know, for them playing the gimmick over the weekend on Saturday, oh, Toni Storm is All Elite. Remake. I like remake on this version. The remake of the Crow movie sucked. That's a totally different show. But the remake of Toni Storm, Rockstar version, I think that kind of is, again, related to the Faces of Foley. And I hope they keep doing that.
I mean,
because I think the wrestler as Toni Storm is extremely talented.
Oh, big time. Hey, Australian wrestlers, especially female wrestlers, they have a special gift. They are immensely tough, immensely talented. And a couple weeks ago, there was these things that Toni Storm, you know, quote, retired from wrestling. That indicated, hey, that might mean that the timeless character is going away because she went to Japan and went to in Mexico and, you know, she lost matches. So, yeah, so the timeless one is basically gone. So yeah. I was like, dude, this is a change. Yeah, she's obviously going to change her character.
She got the season finale. She's been, you know, cut from TV. I think it's kind of a good thing that that happened. But at some points, like, yeah, it needed to have a reboot. And this Toni Storm is going to win a lot. So you're going to see another Mariah May, Toni Storm, non-timeless version. And it'll give a little bit more life back to the women's locker room.
Well, hopefully. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that does it for today. Ricky, let the folks know where they can find you, sir.
Anywhere on the internet. That's all I got to say. Now working with MEW, which is out of Maine, and working with NIW, which is based out of here in New York. We just did a show Friday that's available on millions.co, $14.99. I'll grant it, the show was a clusterfuck from start to end, but we got the show finished. The next time we'll be on the air, I believe, is in January. So yours truly will be behind the camera.
Yeah. All right.
Doing all that fun stuff.
And as always, ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and pretty much anywhere you get your podcast, sadly, except for YouTube. But ladies and gentlemen, we thank you so much. Ricky, thank you so much for coming on the show. I cannot wait to do it again, sir.
Anytime, my man.
All right. Y'all have a good one, and God bless. And ladies and gentlemen, happy holidays.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.